settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week with our spirit friends, we discuss a different topic of interest, and our hope is that through listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us, we can continue to give you further options and choices to mull over and investigate within your own mind. And this week's show is called Affinity with Truth, or We Become Clear, if you just stick around and enjoy the show with us. But if you'd like to join in, you can do that. It's not a reading show, and I'll talk to you about that in a few minutes. But it's actually, you can join in with the conversation if you've got anything to add to our show. If you'd like to ask Gregory a question about what we're talking about, it's toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-810-8322, and the international call isn't free, but it's I don't think it's that expensive, for, because after all it will only be for a short time, and that's 001-530-876-3222.
Well, thanks. Yes. Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching. You can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. If you want to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, or anything else, please do go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. I'm a deep trance medium, and as usual, I'll be bringing through Spirit Guy Gregory Hay, who will be speaking to you and Sylvie. Don't forget, this is an experiment, folks. Gregory will borrow my body for the rest of the show, and I won't be aware of anything that happens from then on, as my spirit and consciousness are taken elsewhere. Gregory had an Earth life 300 years ago, and he has come back to help us with the benefit of his education and development in the spirit world. Anyway, I'm going to let Sylvie take it from here because I have to go off and go to sleep. Thank you very much. And in a few seconds, or shortly, I'm sure, Gregory will be here.
Yes. Yeah. Apart from Gregory's many other tasks in the spirit world, Gregory Hay is the spokesperson for a massive educational group called the White Cloud Group. They consist of eminent scientists and scholars from all walks of life, and Gregory was asked to be the representative of the group by White Cloud himself, who is a shining one. Gregory is very modest, but we think it must have been because he has such an endearing personality and wonderful communication skills that he was selected to help humanity and save our world. And I, for one, am very grateful that there are those on the other side in another dimension who still care enough to try to steer us towards a more peaceful spiritual path. And I'd just like to mention that we will have our mini Akashic reading show again on the 11th of June, which is the Monday evening show of Spirit's Work. And on this show, on the Thursday afternoon, is the 14th of June. Okay. So anyway, if you would like, if you're interested in having a mini free Akashic reading, they're 10 minutes long. Your Akashic book is your book of life. Everything about you as an eternal being is actually in the book, so it's quite a different reading. You'll find out who your doorkeeper is, your guardian angel, what soul group you're from, and that sort of thing, and probably a few indicators on your spiritual pathway and where you should be heading to at the moment, and that sort of thing. So it's just it's a snippet, but a very compact snippet, of the full Akashic reading that you can have if you go onto our website, www.spirit-teaching.com. akashic-teaching.com, and you can find out about a comprehensive full Akashic reading, or you can actually have a mini Akashic reading, but you have to pay from our site at any time. But anyway, if you would like one on the show, we will need your full name at birth. That's including your middle names, your date of birth, your telephone number, and one question. And email that to enq@spirit-teaching.com. We also have other services that we offer, geophysical stress surveys. If you're buying a property and you're worried about the stability of the environment that you're going to be living on, if it's safe, well, if it's beneficial or if it's negative, we can send the spirit team out to do that for you and give you a survey on that. We also do surveys for paranormal activity in your home or wherever it is, your workplace, maybe even your car. So maybe you're having some unwanted paranormal activity or just activity, and you need to know who it is, basically. Again, we offer this service with Gregory Hay and the team, White Cloud Group, going to find out about that, and then we will give you the diagnostic on that. We will send these to you on a CD as well, by the way, so you will have it to listen to a few times so that it can really sink in. And then we also do animal health diagnostics as well. Maybe you've got a pet that you have been taken to the vet and you're a bit despondent with the treatment, or you just want a second opinion or something like that. We can send the healing team of the group along to look at your pet for you, and then that will come on a CD too. So all of these you can find on our website, spirit-teaching.com. But today, hello, Gregory.
Hello, my dear friend.
We're going to be talking about the affinity with truth.
Yes. I can see the question marks above your head,
yes,
friend.
Yes, so just in case...
Coming out of your ears,
yes,
in fact.
Yes, I know as much as you at this moment in time, folks, so this is just a case of literally of us having a conversation and seeing where it goes, okay? So like I say, if you want to join us, you can. It's 877 in the US. 877-876-5227. Canada, 888-810-8322. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. Okay, Gregory, take it away.
Yes, my friend, thank you very much for that pleasant introduction. I have to say that ultimately people have to gain affinities with something in their life. You may feel despondent at this moment in time, or maybe not. Maybe you feel quite happy, and that all you really want to do is learn something new, create something different. Affinity with truth is really the condition of your intention and your direction. So if you have had a life which has been without the affinity or for you to assimilate with anything, this would come as quite a good bit of news for you. As you being a physical being, to assimilate with something can be a challenge, because it may be that whatever the thoughts out there that may affect you from time to time are thoughts that you don't like. Whatever thoughts you create within your own mind, through your own consciousness, are usually through the observations that come to you. These can be observations of color, of sound, can be observations of things that people do around you, the way they react, the way they behave, perhaps the stories they tell, whether those situations presented to you are things which you actually assign yourself to as a relationship. So for many people, they will feel as though they have an affinity with something, but are possibly not quite sure what they have an affinity with. Some people feel that just by trying to be harmonic gives them affinity with the earth. Quite true. The affinity with truth, however, seems a little more difficult a path to tread, because for many people throughout their life experience, you may have evaded truthful aspects or conditions of what you should have responded, how you should have responded to certain situations and events around you. Maybe even this is to do with trying to bring about the right decision for you to take. Perhaps because the truth was not a palatable thing, didn't taste right, was bitter for you. Truth very often is quite hard, quite difficult to swallow, brings a lump to your throat actually to admit. For you as an individual to truly understand that errors have been made, possibly, in your life. I'm not saying that by having an affinity with truth that you have to own up to everything and that will be surely bringing you into a state of negativity or extreme chaos in your life. It may be that in itself brings you into quite a distraught feeling. Perhaps a negativity that you don't want to visit. I understand that. For a human being, however, to really truly have an affinity with truth, it means that they're not just living in now, in the present time, but they are actually looking toward the future and how they are going to be more closely aligned with their own inner honesty. Don't forget, affinity to truth is something which actually raises your vibration level. You as a being become more harmonic if you are truthful about something. I know that when we say a truthful thing, we are saying to what degree is it that we have actually aspired to make. Are we saying that the thoughts now nestling in our heads or in our minds, in our consciousness, are we saying that those thoughts are the finite reasoning that we have been able to bring about in physical life and that there rests them, that they are perfect and pure in their own way, that they can never be rescinded, never be restructured because of new incoming knowledge? Surely, my friends, if you have really pure communication and communion with truth, you are wanting to aspire to whatever truth is. But surely, in some respects, your life interweaves between one truth and another, because the different people that you come up against or that you make contact with, you are actually reacting to their truth and what they've told you. So it isn't your truth at all. It's theirs, coming from their mind, their journey, how their experience has reflected upon their life. But what true affinity of truth is when you are more closely aligned with the universal truth. The universal laws, for example. That's another question. Perhaps when you feel that you come upon a universal truth, it may be a right or a wrong that you observe in your physical life that other people are creating around them. Perhaps an affinity with truth is how you are becoming more harmonic with your surroundings. And that harmony is something which is imprinting a gradual raise in your energy and truthful assimilation with the upper house harmony that you as a conscious being may become closer to throughout your life. This, of course, is all assuming that your experience will continue to generate these truth fields, will continue to generate the way, the pathway forward for you to make the most truthful understandings you can. I feel I began this with a bit of trepidation, quite simply because one man's truth is not another. You as a human being will move through your life accepting truthful insights from one person and yet rejecting others because they may not sit well with you, may not sit well with what you have learnt to date, perhaps from other incoming information you've brought into your life. Simply by bringing in information, reading books or seeing films or listening to music or whatever it is, doesn't mean to say that that in itself is a truth. But how you react to it will be a veritable sign of where you are in your stage of development at this moment. I'm not assigning one stage of development and saying, well, when you read this particular book, you're at such and such a stage and peg that little hole in your life. It isn't like that. Two people who read the same book will grasp different meanings from every single sentence because how that makes upon your mind and your affinity, your drawing in your strands together so that you can understand the meaning conveyed and also so that you can picture the words and sentences for how they paint a particular view. All of this adds up into your mind, and the journey that you've made to that point is helping you to analyze the information. So whether you become a part of that information or not, whether you actually drink it into yourself and actually create it, therefore, as a part of your life, follow that as a pathway. You may read something of perhaps some dharma or other given by a guru from India. And what actually is interacted is that the moment of truth comes when the realization of illumination or enlightenment or some such thing is graced upon your pathway. That is your temporary involvement of it. You are reactive to the situation as it comes upon you. I'm not saying that your affinity with truth is in despair or that it is problematic, but it may well be that your interaction at that point doesn't mean to say it continues throughout your life. That is just one interaction, one assimilation of memory, one creation of understanding, which will then hopefully lead you on to the gateway of another understanding. Some years down the line, it doesn't mean to say that just because you have already previously reached that understanding, that you then have not progressed, or that you could not have progressed because you haven't continued with that cycle. It simply means that you're finding your pathway, the situations that are part of it, have actually, in a sense, moved your journey from one thing to another. As I say, a journey in physical time is really about the interactivity of the individual to different situations. However, your affinity with real truth appears upon the horizon when you actually discover something that you can align yourself to, an ideologue perhaps, an ideology, Perhaps it is that you align yourself into thinking that all is well with the planet, and that no harm has come from fossil fuel burning or leaving a large carbon footprint. Nothing is ill done if you take someone else's life. It's only a temporary thing. After all, physical life's only temporary. You may actually look at life in that way. I am, in a sense, playing the devil's advocate here, because many people will have such different, misaligned views from one another. How can you possibly bring together harmonic layering when people are so obviously in such juxtaposition to one another? They have difficulty in assimilating, finding an affinity with anything. And that's part of the problem that is created when people become fractured from the truth. Your affinity with truth continues in a very subtle way because you live upon the planet of Earth. Some things are most truthful in your life. The way the sun looks, or the way the moonlight sends landscapes crashing across from one side to the other, sends them into deep shadows and also brightness. An luminosity which you cannot really paint in your mind, and yet you see it with your own eyes. You have an affinity with it, because it forms a part of your perfect harmonic. If you look at a tree in a field, or as part of a wood, you observe the tree as a thing of beauty. You become engaged with that tree. You form an affinity with it because of the ambient setting it brings to you, the energy it brings to you. It's something of relief and release and joining. Yes, joining you as a physical being with it as a physical being. Because it is giving you something selflessly, drawing you in. And as you look upon it, you look upon its beauty, and you find yourself in motion with it. The emotions which come from you are formed from its beauty, its canopy, how it interacts with space, how it changes and alters space just by the mere movement of its leaves. You find then an affinity with truth. The truthful impact of what this being state creates in you. That is a truth, an affinity with truth you create in your moment of existence. These are the truthful kinds of affinity that grace your life as a physical being. Not the connotations of conversation that you have, not the wrestling with words, or the you trying to create an ambient setting out of manufactured items, or even perhaps you may move with the affinity of truth if you actually create a setting you find ultimately harmonic. Perhaps it is in arranging plants or furniture. You may move this into the symbology of actually finding a defining moment of beauty that you can create in yourself, in your own life. You see, gradually, as human beings move through their life, unfortunately, they are taken away from the affinity with truth. Because the affinity with truth is all around you. The harmonic of your world is all around you. It's just that being a human being in the busy world, in the material existence, you take your eye away from the physical affinity with truth. And whilst your eye is away from it, you actually feel naked. You actually feel vulnerable because you do not have that alignment, which is natural to you, which actually as a child, as your inquiring mind came and grew and progressed, you could see the beauty in the simplest things. And that is the true affinity with truth, just like looking at a tree, just like drinking in that environment of something natural and beautiful that fulfills and creates a feeling of well-being in your life.
Okay, I'm not sure if somebody came on the line then. I heard a ping in my headset, did you? No, nobody there. Okay. Okay, well, by the way, if anybody does want to phone in and talk to Gregory about this, topic of conversation, then in the US it's free, it's 877-876-5227. Canada is toll-free, 888-810-8322. And international callers is 001-530-876-3222. But that's but you have to pay for that, I'm afraid. Okay. Well, I mean, so many things actually spring to mind here. For instance, can we go back to what exactly is the universal law? I mean, so many people interpret this as so many different things.
Yes, quite so, because there are a lot of universal laws.
Yes.
That's part of the problem, I suppose.
Yes.
And people stumble upon them, or they perhaps invent them, even. So, the universal law of truth is what is. You would have a habit as a physical human being of trying to evade truths because they become unpalatable, as I said at the outset. Some people tend to shy away from that which is truth simply because they cannot stomach it. It's too hard, too difficult. And that actually becomes a problem in itself because that then decreases your vibration energy level. It also decreases your vibration index, that index vibration of your unification with your spirit. So the more that you create a difficulty with the affinity with truth, you move away from your spirit. So the law, in the universal law in this case, is that the affinity with truth is what is. Not someone's ideal, but a fact of completion as it reveals itself in either the natural physical world or the etheric world.
So the universal law is the natural world, natural physical world, combined with the etheric world.
Yes, the universe.
Yes, the total universe.
Yes.
The other planets, the everything, everything.
The everything.
Interconnected. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. So when we are, say for instance, when we are reading about others, other people's alignment with their universal law, then that's not necessarily our universal law, is it?
It depends entirely upon whether it reflects what is, rather than someone's mere interpretation of what is. But the truthful diagnostic is, you remember the frog story, friend, where there are 8 or 9 people looking at a frog, and except that they're all blind. And they look at a frog from a different aspect because they are all blind. Each one of them feels the frog and feels a different part of it. So the frog appears to be this slimy thing to one person, or it feels very thin like a snake because it's got hold of its leg. It feels, you see?
Yes, it all depends what angle you're looking at it from. But I think that's my point, because we very readily read, for instance, other people's and then we have an affinity with their pathway and what they've thought, and then we automatically feel maybe spiritually uplifted and in some instances spiritually advanced in some way because we've read these books.
Of course.
And yet we haven't, but we've aligned ourselves to their affinity with truth in their eye.
Yes, exactly. And what I'm saying that what someone else has read or written or talks about, exactly the same as what I am talking about now, is not necessarily something which will assimilate with someone else. Because where they have come from is maybe that they've read something completely the opposite. And because of hindsight, or because they do not want to appear differing or moving away from their own ideology, they will refuse to actually take part. They will say, well, you're talking out of whatever orifice it may be that you're talking out of. You see, so actually what people, human beings, tend to do is they struggle with the pathway of trying to find something and yet remain in denial even when something may present itself which puts you off or sends you on a different course. They may actually deny that information is possible. Oh, it cannot possibly be right because I've already read this and in my heart I know that it's true. Well, of course it would be because human beings don't want to understand something that they've already set their store by. But their goal has already been reached as far as that's concerned. That's something that they can quietly put away because it was a reasonable assumption at that time. Albeit crafted by someone else.
So does your individual affinity with truth change as you grow?
Well, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and that's quite all right for that time. You know, it's a bit like people say, well, you know, am I where I'm supposed to be now? You hear that all the time. Am I in
the
right place?
Absolutely so. Yes, you're at the place that you're supposed to be now asking the question. If that is what you want to hear.
Yes, absolutely. And
you
so
see?
And so there is no standard, is there, except
what is.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying.
Mm.
That is the affinity with truth. What is. And so you cannot move away from that. You cannot try to dress it up as something else because what is what is. It doesn't change. It doesn't alter. You see a tree that is passing, and it's lost all its leaves, and it looks this bare husk of a thing, of its former beautiful self. That is what is.
But so how can it ever be wrong?
Well,
if what it is, how can that be ever wrong?
Well, exactly. That's my point, that it isn't ever wrong. The problem arises when people refuse to acknowledge what is. And they will perhaps shy away from it, as I say, citing previous information, previous past interpretation, because perhaps there is a state of ego involved, because people would not want to move away from the present of what they have predicted in their life. They want to see what they have predicted to come true, to come right. And so you have this strange situation where many, many people involved in physical life are in fact leading a life of a lie because they're not actually truly happy because they're still drinking copious amounts of alcohol or taking drugs or whatever, trying to fill the hole, trying to fill the gaping wound within themselves because they haven't not aspired to the affinity of truth, of what is. They're afraid of it, trying to back away from it.
Well, as a culture, we place blame on situations.
Oh, yes.
And we either learn from these situations or we get eaten up by them.
Yes, or get devoured by the same situation repeating itself.
Mm, absolutely. So, as far as what is, in that situation, it's either of them. It's any of those scenarios.
Well, yes, I suppose so, because what you create is what you get out.
Mm.
So, and what you get out is what you create. So the point is that if you as a being wanted truthfully to move forward, you would take upon yourself the truth of what is and not what you tried to make it be. You see, human beings always want to be creative and turn something into something else because they want it to reflect their own personal view. That's what human beings do, especially in a physical life. They tend to do it in the spirit world too, to some extent. That's why people in the spirit world will still adopt the same religious aspect that they had in physical life, even though religion doesn't exist in the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
You see, people will sit and ride upon their own dogma, and that is something which will actually keep them away from their spirit.
But that's their affinity with their truth.
It is, absolutely so. And I'm saying, really, though, that so people, though, become embroiled in that. They become fastened to it. It's like wearing a straitjacket. How can you possibly see outside the box if you don't have any eyes to see outside the box? You see, people tend to choose what they want to see or what they want to hear so that it resonates with them in just the same way to bring comfort. To bring comfort to what their previous feeling and analysis had been. Oh yes, that's right. I remember I judged it like that and I'm shown out to be truthful. Because, purely because they're not listening to anything else. That's exactly why, my friend, you will have a far-right conservative, if you are looking at it politically, who will always remain that way, will never ever, not in a million years, look at a situation in a different light, purely because of dogmatic principle that they are tied to, limiting their scope of realization. So their affinity with truth has gone out the window long ago. It's something that doesn't even have any semblance. When they look at a tree, they'll just see something that has pound signs upon it, or dollar signs if you're in that country. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Because all they will see is the benefit they can take from taking that tree and selling it and having that life. Yes?
Absolutely. So synchronicity has to play a role in this then?
Absolutely so. Yes, of course. It does play a very significant role. The thing is to remember, friend, that when you are a child, when you think in pure, simple thought, and you actually create activity and action on the principle of what is created in your life, you are reacting in such a way as to be having a very close affinity with the natural course of synchronicity. So in actual fact, yes, I would have to say that with children, they will actually create things which are bad for them, and the result of that is that they will either feel pain instantly, a finger in the fire is a classic reason for this, or they will feel something else because they will make such a mistake and they'll have either a physical accident or they will have a mental accident, which means that they suddenly learn something outside of their previous knowledge. The affinity with truth really comes to bear with a child when a child observes the same tree that we were talking about. And even if that tree had lived all of its life in pure obscurity, within the eyes of a child, it is a beautiful thing, a beautiful being. And as that enrichment comes to that child, it enlivens that child to thinking in terms of affinity with truth, because they are sheltering in the moment of that acknowledgement. Oh, isn't that beautiful? And what that emotion creates within that child is something which will last forever.
So is it, it's obviously healthy in some, with some people to think, well, this is my affinity with truth now, this is what it's like now, but be flexible, obviously, to know that it will change. I mean, that is surely the healthiest way to live your life.
Absolutely, and that really is why we brought it up, Rin. Because what we're saying is that there are so many situations in physical life which will bring you to the purpose almost of near extinction, that will bring you to this precipice of thinking that you went down this road of thought and analysis and that it actually appeared to be, it turned out completely wrong and negative and wasn't the truth at all. So hopefully you've learned a lesson there. Hopefully you have brought something upon yourself which will be useful for your future. Realign yourself. Understand this is a lesson. This is something I can create from here. I have greater knowledge now because of this lesson. That's the point. That is a true affinity with truth, in acknowledging the lesson you create in your life. Through synchronicity, that may be a negative temporary setback. But it's only temporary. That's the thing you have to remember, that the law of synchronicity will bring you back into the realignment of where you are supposed to be. You just have to understand that in seeking the true affinity with truth, you are practicing becoming, not just living in the now, not just trying to create a moment or blending with it, but acknowledging the state of what and who you are now. That is an affinity with truth, because it enables you to change what you don't like. It enables you to see exactly what you are. Maybe to acknowledge that you are untrustworthy, or to acknowledge that you have a roving eye and that you are not conditionally acceptable for the principles of your marriage or your joyous life. Perhaps it is that people assimilate with what they want as being, well, it must be what my desire feels or reacts to. So that thing that's on the horizon, that thing that I've never quite managed to grasp yet, must be what my heart desires. And that's what you as a human being will try to strive for in order to create, even though it may kill you in the end. You see, the point is that people want to believe in something which is whole and present and now. Well, I'm saying it is. It's just that you're not seeing it. It is there. It's in the state of is. Because the state of is nothing else other than pure fact. If you try to bring about some subliminal terminology, some etheric situation to your life that you cannot actually palatably see or react with, no concrete interaction between you and another species or another being, whether they are etheric or not, are you actually fooling yourself? Are you actually saying, well, I'm just playing mind games with myself? You may be, because for some people, when they do that, they are. That's what they're doing. They're not actually really assimilating, or they're not really making contact with other beings. They're actually playing a mind game. Because what you have to do is, as well as the interaction that you make, you then find yourself assessing what that interaction was.
And putting your own interpretation on.
Yes, exactly. Yes, you put your own interpretation upon what that meeting was all about. And usually what human beings tend to do is they glorify it, or they bend it slightly, or they move with it. They will perhaps assimilate that what that interaction had and the connotation of it sparked a different meaning within their consciousness, raised it perhaps, had a beautiful, overwhelming feeling of love. Yes, quite possibly so. And that reaction to you, and your reaction to it, to that union, was something which was an affinity with truth. But it doesn't mean to say that the whole situation was an affinity with the truth. because some of it would have been tainted by your memory, by your conscious effort, by your trials of trying to understand what it was that you went through. And that very often is something which just comes about because you pigeonhole things, as people do. It makes the world nice and neat and tidy.
Well, we like to make ourselves feel, well, there's enough things that make us feel terrible, so we like to turn most events, if we can, into something positive. I mean,
yes, of course.
You know, so this is how, I mean, if we hear people talking about, you know, it's good to talk, to turn something, a negative event, into something positive if you can. Get
yes.
something positive out of it and focus on the positive that has come from that terrible position in your life.
Yes.
So the alignment of where you're supposed to be then really is in the positive.
Yes, and in understanding that if the situation is negative, it was negative then. It's not negative now. The very fact that you continue to react to it being negative is because you haven't moved away from that point.
Right, so you could be where you're supposed to be now.
Yes, exactly.
But you are choosing to stay there because you're staying in the negative.
Yes, because you're still reminding yourself of the flavor it gave you, of the situation it gave you. So, then, if you have someone, shall we say, a beautiful child who passes, what you are constantly reminded of is the beautiful child. The beautiful child, the beautiful child, the beautiful child. It just goes on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. The memory, the face, the wide open eyes, it means that you regurgitate the negativity. And instead, I know that this is very difficult for people who have, shall we say, lost their children or their wives, their loved ones, whoever it is. I know it is extremely wrenching and tearing of the soul. I understand that completely. I have seen so many, so many. And yet I understand that people continue in that degradation of their life because they continue to regurgitate that memory. And what happened had happened. And if you choose not to move away or to move forward in the process, because that spirit has moved forward with the process, has had to, because that's what happens. The process of physical life from life in the physical state to life in the spirit world continues relentlessly without you having a detail in it. However, what you are doing is recreating the event in your mind and assimilating with that rather than finding the affinity with truth, which is what is. What is happens to be the child is happy.
Yes, and something at the positive that you would or should get out of that is the fact, well, obviously it happened and you can't turn the clock back.
Exactly.
And that's terrible, but to imagine if it was what the child is feeling like, look, you know, saying, okay, I'm here now, can we just go on and live our lives now, and I'm here to share it with you, okay, I'm not in the
in physical, a different way.
But I really don't want to be around you when you're all morose and crying all the time because it upsets me. So can we just, you know, I mean, that, do you know what I mean?
Try to see past that.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So, and that doesn't mean to say that you're not being emotional or that you're being cold or whatever that emotion that's supposed to be that is so loveless to physical human beings. It isn't loveless. It's accepting what is. The truth alignment of affinity that you must face every single day of what is. And what is in perfect harmony of the things that you see in the world around you are the beautiful things of your natural world that many other people abuse so far. That is something which is precious to you. That is a significant situation which the creation of all life would have much rather you became blessed with, rather than the fighting, the gross negativity of your interaction and the poor, lowly traits that human beings seem to grasp upon just because they need some reaction of something. I'm sure in many events that's why people create and bring about negative reaction, because they just want a reaction, and they've tried perhaps in ways of positivity, but instead they have assimilated with the negative energy, because at least that's something which gives them some feedback. It gives them a reason. Any reason will do when people are desperate to fill the hole in life left by not being in affinity with their spirit. And that is the other universal truth that exists.
Well, presumably if you're at one with your spirit, and I know we've talked about this a lot, but obviously it all comes back to that really, because if you're in affinity with your spirit, you will be guided by the best source of radar, as it were, that you could possibly have as your judgment.
Yes, hopefully so. Of course, there will be times when you will wobble from it purely because your guidance may not be that good. It may not be that accurate. It may be that you are not listening.
Well, exactly. But then you're not going to be totally in tune with it at those moments, are you?
No, exactly. And so when you are in a negative state, you're using a misalignment to then continue that decision and judgment making.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think most people know that making a decision through anger is just really a bad idea.
Yes.
I mean, and that would be a classic example,
yes,
wouldn't it?
Yes, there should always be a large bucket of water always handy for anyone who does that, and you just throw it over them.
Yes. And, I mean, you know, if you think about it, so many decisions that affect us and our world and our global economy and safety are all, a lot of them, made through anger.
Oh yes, and resentment and negativity, and what can I take from that person or that situation? How can I create something for myself of worth out of someone else's negativity? That is a big problem that physical human beings take. And with that, they are in out of alignment with their affinity with truth.
Jointly.
Completely, yes.
Quite clever, really, isn't it? So, well, yes. Gosh, we got there in the end, didn't we, Gregory?
Well, yes, of course. It was a joyous journey, friend.
I mean, you know, in a way, it's like, well, don't take yourself too serious, because you lose track of where you're supposed to be.
Exactly.
On the other hand, you can't say don't think about it too much, because you'll get complacent. Acceptance is something that we need, but not to the point where, you know, there's a line.
Not to the point where it's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. There's a line drawn there on most of the things, you know,
yes,
that we need to be. Well, I know we just need to be, don't we? We need,
yes,
to be.
It is just like that you are a gyroscope on a wire, and the gyroscope is spinning. That's you. You're spinning on a wire, and you're balancing because of the inertial spin which is created and the centrifugal force which keeps you in alignment. So decisions that come to you, effects of other people's lives which are negative, bring you this way and that, make your gyroscope wobble, make you wobble on your line of life, if you like, on your way, on your pathway. And really what you have to do is to try to understand that your truest affinity is with what is now, not completely regurgitating the moment of the past in order to bring some life into your understanding, because it isn't the truth. It's what was then. It's not what is now. You're readdressing, recoating your life with the same clothes that you had on 10 minutes ago, or the same understanding that you had on 10 minutes ago. That isn't progress. That's not creation. What is what is.
Okay, well, Gregory, thank you very much.
With love and light, then, friends. Goodbye.
Bye, Gregory. Okay, well, everybody, I'd just like to mention that our website is www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about us and our work. Don't forget, if you want a mini Akashic reading, our next ones will be on the 11th and 14th of June. So do get in touch. We will need your full name at birth, including the middle name, your date of birth, your telephone number, one question, and email that to enq@spirit-teaching.com. My name is Sylvie Avery, and thank you so much for listening to Spirit's Work. So until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.